for a little bit, and then you gonna put me in.
I'm gonna bring you right back in right now. 1 second.
Okay.
We're just shooting it. We're just going.
All right. All right.
So, explain to me the big band. What's it like? Sometimes you do like shows with like band accompaniment, like Todd Glass, when he's like, hit it, bow, bow.
When I first started doing comedy, I was like talking to a friend, and I was like, I need a really cool Instagram name, like a cool at. And one of my friends gave me the idea of Big Band Brand. It's basically just, it's like Big Money Brandon, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Just slang. Big Money Brandon. That's what Big Band Brand really stands for.
Well, I think that could be a real interesting gimmick, like a like for like a hook gimmick that could make really people want to, like, it's a variety show. Like, you're coming and you're not just getting stand-up comedy, you're getting a performance, you're getting something else, and just added into sort of like a full like night out experience for people.
You know, it's really the gimmick is my actual government. My name is Brandon Broderick Curl. Say my initials.
BBC.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That's really the gimmick. And it's funny because I'm not bullshitting. That's really my name.
They could just advertise that on the flyers. A night out.
That's usually one of my opening jokes is me talking about my name. Usually it's one of my opening jokes, and people love it. People love it. Yeah, I feel like it fits in like the funniest way ever, because I always just crack a joke. Like, if I didn't do comedy, I'd definitely be a porn star.
It would be super funny if and you don't have to take it this way, but this is just something I think my comedic mind would be like going back, turn it back into self deprecating. And be like, that puts so much pressure on me to be, you know what I mean? Like what about average, ABC, average?
I do have to live up to a large expectation. Right. Is that right, though? I'm a good performer. Pressure. I perform well under pressure. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, I like to start with the expectations hovering around standard.
Yeah, definitely high expectations. Yeah, high expectations. Yeah. Oh, man.
I've become better at performing better under pressure myself. You know, the world will crash down on you if you let it sometimes.
Ah, that's an understatement. That's an understatement. If you let it, it will definitely come crashing down. But that's why, man, you know what it is? I learned this from, especially from doing comedy, is I don't get embarrassed. You know, at the end of the day, if something doesn't work out, I can always say I tried my hardest. So, you know, so that's how I feel about the BBC, man. At the end of the day, like, if I don't live up to it, at least I tried my hardest, man.
Engine that could, man.
Yeah, I did. I gave everything I got, you know.
I think I can. we were talking a couple minutes ago before we were on mic, talk about when you, and like people go, hey, next time you're local, I want to come. Make sure you tell me when your next thing is and I'll come. And then you just don't come. Like, sometimes the world is what it is. And like people have to choose between what they've got to do and what your thing is might be a luxury and not a super priority. I kind of compared that to, and I've said this on stage, just talking about like when you throw a joke out there and it gets no reaction, it feels like when, you know, like those old movies when the one main character stood up to the bully and all his friends were with them and they're like, yeah, stand up to him. And then he stands up to the bully, and the bully's like, "Yeah, you and what army? Me and these guys." And then no one's there.
No one's there.
That's how the world can feel sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good comparison because, man, it sucks because especially doing shows, you want everybody and their mama to show up, and you get those people, man, who always are like. It's weird. It's usually like a coworker. They'll be like, they'll ask you, go out their way, asking you, when's your next show? Mm-hmm. And where is it at? What time is it? And there's just nowhere to be found when this time is here.
And left on red.
And man, as a professional, I had to realize I can't get mad at that person because eventually they might show up and they might bring people. But it's hard in the moment because, you know, you want to be emotional because I don't know how other comics feel. For me personally, this is my baby, you know, telling jokes. This is like the most important thing I've ever did in my life is, you know, tell jokes because I really tried, you know. Not saying I expect everybody to laugh at every joke, but, you know, if you say you're going to be somewhere and support, I expect you to be there, but you know, sometimes life happens and people can't always show up.
Well, let's say it's not up to me, the FOMO that you get over me, because I'm still going to perform whether you're there or not. I'm going to perform and you're going to be like, "Oh crap, I missed it." Yeah, you're crap. Oh, whatever. That's your problem.
Yeah, man. And I swear, not showing up is contagious because, one of my last shows, man, in Phoenix before I moved, like 10 people didn't show up that said they was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that number gets crazy. It gets higher and higher. And a whole lot of people won't show up. But that's just a part of the game.
Well, I want to turn the tables on me a little bit on this because sometimes I've been the guy who couldn't show up.
Yeah.
And I gotta consider everybody who doesn't show up as sometimes I'm the guy who didn't show up, or I'm the guy who like had something else come up. Like sometimes I'm the bad guy and stuff. Sometimes if I'm mad at somebody for being the bad guy, I've been the bad guy before. So I'm who I'm mad at is that version of me that didn't show up for me.
Yeah. Hey man, I'd be lying to say I haven't not shown up to an event before. Stuff happens, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing you gotta keep in mind about people not showing up. Like, you know, you might have that one guy, you know, just who never really planned on coming, just acting like it, but some people might have really gotten sick that day or really couldn't get out of work that day.
Shoot. Yeah. Like important, the importance of showing up, sometimes for me, at least, a few years ago, my friend Chris Cotton was playing at Punchline, right?
Oh man.
Whatever it was, I was getting a ride down there and they're dilly dallying too much. And like, we were going to be too late. We were going to at least be late, like the show. We would have missed like half of the show or whatever. Then we finally got there. I was almost ready to give up and not show up. And my mom was like, "It'll be more important for him to see that you showed up." I got there. I was too late. The show just ended. I missed it.
Oh, man.
And he came out there and he was sweating his ass off. And he's like, "Hey, Corey." And he came over and he hugged me. And he's like, "You know what? It's hugging sweaty guys is like, it's fine." And then he like walked away. And my mom said to me how important it would be to him that I showed up. He's gone now. He passed. And that moment for him just being there, seeing that I showed up and being that happy, even though I missed the show, it was just important that I was there. He just had the reaction, and I'll never get that back. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes maybe the FOMO should be those MOMOs.
Yeah. That's, man, you know what? Because he probably, that's crazy. I'm glad you end up making it. I mean, I wish you would have made the show, but obviously, but at least you didn't give up. You still made it to the comedy club at the end. Man, let me tell you something. I usually go to a lot of events and stuff, mainly because I'm trying not to be a hypocrite, because my thing is like, how can I expect you to go to my events if I don't go to yours? That's my spin on stuff like this. But because to be honest, if I wasn't doing comedy, I wouldn't be as sociable as I am. Like, I'm very, very sociable, but I wouldn't be this sociable because it's so draining. But it's also beauty in it, because I experienced things that I think I wouldn't have experienced if I didn't decide to be so sociable and go so many things. I have a lot of fun. And people are
attracted to being around you, for sure. Yeah. I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody walked by and you were drinking a drink, and like, they were a friend that you've known, and they came in, they hugged you and said, "What's up?" And you're like, "Want to try my drink?" And they're like, "What is it?" And you're like, "It's delicious. Want to try my drink?" And I was like, only comedians would talk like that. only the people who have like this social mind on all the time would be like, "What?
Yeah, dude, man.
These aren't questions that you should be asking me."
I'm telling you, I love, it's funny though, because like, my friends, I love them to death. They love me too. And I have so many friends, especially out here, because so many people from high school specifically, and then like friends I made afterwards, it's dope. Like, what really blows my mind is the amount of people I've met in Phoenix. I lived there for 3 years, and the amount of people I know is crazy. Like for one of my birthdays, I want to say my second birthday out there, I got a party bus, and it was like 40 people on that party bus. And I was like, wow. I moved there only knowing one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how the fuck did I make so many friends? Crazy. Like I literally got invited to a wedding. I was a groomsman out there. Like, it's wild, man. Wild times. I honestly missed it already. Like, I really see me moving back in like a year or two.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just gotta just the I just watched Sebastian Maniscalco on an interview, and he brought up a Chris Rock saying where he said, how are you gonna make an entrance if you don't ever leave the party?
Ooh. Damn. Yeah, that's damn. That's how I feel. You know, it's funny. I have a show booked. Well, it's not. I'm at the final steps of booking it. This show, it's going to be a stand up live in Phoenix, and that's the biggest comedy club in the state.
Cool.
And I'm excited because like I told everybody about it back home. So like, we're back in Phoenix. So, like, that's how I feel. I'm making, like, an entrance when I come back. And I have this, like, super big comedy venue, the biggest one I've ever done. And people are going to be dying to hear, like, what I've been doing the last couple months. You know? Right. It's going to be at the end of March. But that's literally what just came to mind. Like, yeah, because when you leave and then you come back, people lose their freaking minds. Like, that's how I felt when I on Friday last week, because a lot of those people I haven't seen in a while. And man, it was hype to see me.
Cool. Yeah. I felt that way when I left DCW. I left wrestling for like 4 years almost. Not wrestling in general all the way, but I left DCW, which was a company that I had worked for probably 10, 15 years at that point. And when I came back after 4 years, the crowd went nuts. But it was still during pandemic, so we all had to have masks on and stuff and kind of stunk. But
wait, when you say wrestling, you mean like Olympic wrestling, or are you talking like SmackDown?
Like what?
Or like SmackDown?
Yeah, more like SmackDown wrestling.
Wait,
on the independent circuit, yeah.
I could see you. You know, it is. It's a goddamn stash, man. I could see you doing that. I could see you. What was your wrestling name?
Corey Castle.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And what made you get out of that?
I didn't get out of it. I'm still in it.
You still in it?
I'm still in it. Yeah. I'm still when's active in the independent wrestling business. Yeah.
What?
I wrestle shows on the weekends. Yeah.
Man, you got to invite me.
That's why I said I haven't been on stage doing comedy in the last 6 months, because I've been booked so much. Like I'm not complaining, you know, but I do need a little bit of that like outlet through comedy that I love pro wrestling, like WWF wrestling.
Yeah.
Like I love that. Like I love breathing air.
Okay.
Like, and I love comedy, like breathing air. You know what I mean? Like they're very equal amounts of like the serotonin levels and sort of like the rush that you get from it. And like with comedy, the difference is like I have to be like smart about ideas and about communicating. And in wrestling, it's like I have to be smart about how I'm using my body and how I'm telling this story and how I'm making these people feel. So I think it's
The fact you do wrestling, man, is the coolest thing I've heard all week. Like I can only imagine what you put your body through when you have matches.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Like you gotta throw grown men around. Like that sounds insane. I can imagine you probably like spend most of your time in the gym.
At least 5 days a week, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not as like gym head, like gym rat, meathead that I used to be, but like, there's no such thing as the good old days. The older we get, the better we all once were.
Dude, who you telling, man? Like, I just been getting into the gym. That's also a big reason why I move, is because I'm trying to get in shape because I like gain a bunch of weight. From all the drinking and partying. And since I've been back, I've been working out almost every day. And I worked out with one of my buddies I met him when I used to be in the Marine Corps, like a while ago. And he's still in. Man, I'm so sore. I've been groaning and crying all day. Not literally crying, but just like, dude, I'm so sore. Because we was working on back. And I never work on back. And we're doing like deadlifts and stuff. Man, I was like, I got to start working on back. Because I shouldn't be this sore right now.
I did midnight legs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I did midnight chest and tries. For some reason, I'm working out at midnight. No one else is at the gym. That's my favorite thing to do.
Honestly, being at a gym by yourself is orgasmic. It's the best. Like I love being at the gym by myself. So my mom has a gym set in the basement. So when I'm working out by myself, I'm usually here. But if I'm working out with somebody else, I go to like Planet or like whatever gym they go to. I went to Urge Fitness yesterday,
still too big box to me. Like it's still too big box gym to me. Both Urge and Planet are both like too like it's huge gym and it's got a million members and a million. That's a potential for a million people to be there at any time. And the gym that I belong to, it's a little hole in the wall average Joe's gym, and I prefer that. It's like a 80s iron and it's just like old meatheads. Yep. It's either old meatheads or like old people who are like senior citizens and retired who've been coming there since 1985.
See, I just got to the Planet Fitness because it's convenient and cheap, because there's so many Planet Fitnesses like everywhere, you know? And, right. and it doesn't cost that much. I pay like $25 and I could bring a person and go to like any Planet Fitness. But
are they not 24 hours anymore? Didn't they stop being 24 hours?
Yeah, I didn't know that till the other day. Like, cause I was going to a different gym in Phoenix, but yeah, I found that out. That shit blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. That even more nails why I'm glad I don't go there.
Yeah,
it's like I went back in 2007 when they first opened Planet Fitness. Man. So I used to go when it first opened, and it sucked. Like, didn't suck, but they were like, "Hey, you can't wear that bandana. Yeah. Hey, you can't carry that gallon of water." And it was like, "Why all these restrictions on me?" That feels pretty judgmental. Those judgment-free zone people.
Yeah,
judging.
That's when they used to take the lunk alarm serious.
Right.
They'll turn that bitch on in like 2 seconds. Like, man.
I heard it go off a few times. Not to me. It never went off because of me, but it should have. Yeah. I make a lot of noise.
Man,
I'm surprised it didn't go off more times for me when I was working out there.
I think I've learned to accept that the gym has to be part of your lifestyle.
Dude, I went less like a couple months with like being real lax about it and not going. Like I'm acting like I'm every day, but like only the last 3 days, and like the 4 or 5 days before that I didn't go, and then it was like 3 or 4 days, and then before that it was like a week or two I didn't go. So it's sporadic as much as anything. Like it's about getting the urge and really trying to grind discipline into you.
But you know what it is, man. It's so easy to fall off and gain that weight, but it takes so much longer to lose it. That's why I was like, yo, it's better just to keep that a part of your like your lifestyle versus like you fall off that wagon, getting back on is like kind of a bitch.
Do you remember when Jason Momoa like went to the beach and like took a picture and people said he had like a dad bod or something now? Like he had a little belly. People were like body shaming him.
Really?
And I was like, do you know how hard it is to get abs? Do you know how hard it is to be in shape? Like, it's how much work it is. And do you know how easy it is to lose them? It's so easy. It's so easy to get fat. You never had to try to get fat. It just happens. And he's in between roles or something. Why are we picking on him?
Yo, to be honest, like, it's weird because I feel like you have abs and you have like that crazy nice body, unless like you just was born with a super fast metabolism. You have to choose if you want to be happy on the daily with eating good food, or not being happy on the daily with eating shitty food but having an awesome physique. Because
I think the line, maybe the fine line is the food bringing you happiness, is the fine line is that the emotions attached to the food.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think
that could be a revelation. We just blew minds.
Yo, but let's be honest, man. When have you not been happy after eating Chinese food?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's easy and it's good, but it's. I think I can't be like my every day.
Not every day, but I'm just saying, because I feel like if you really are that in shape, so usually you got that's something you probably can only have once, maybe a week, you know, maybe. Like, honestly, a week almost feels like pushing it. Like, for the most part, you gotta stay away from juice, soda, even alcohol. Man, oh my God, that's like my biggest problem is I love to drink. I love to drink, man. And I've been drinking a lot less, and I feel like it's gonna help me lose weight, but like, but me not drinking makes me not as chill, you know? Like I love to have a drink every weekend, but realistically, if you really, really want to lose weight, that has to, you have to cut that out. And that just sucks. Like, it just sucks. But that's how it is, man. Like, you can't eat as you like. You can't really drink. And then when you do drink, you still can't drink beer. Oh, my God. I love beer. Like, you can't really drink beer like that. You really got to stick to, like, kind of like the hard liquor. And, like, and even your chasers, you got to be – that's because that's what will kill you, is drinking the Sprite or whatever, the sodas with your alcohol. It just sucks. Just freaking suck.
It just feels it feels ridiculously unproductive to me. Like, I think that's why I don't drink really. I had last Friday, I had maybe two shots in a beer, and then then maybe a week before that I had one beer, and a week before that I thought about having a beer and I didn't have it. Like, so it just feels to me like I could be doing something that more aligns with the type of person I'd want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but man, eating shitty food and getting drunk on weekends, like that's what I live.
That's for. America, dude.
It is America. It is America. It was like, if you do that, then you'd be fat. It's just like, oh man, it sucks. Like, it's literally what I live for. I live to drink Hennessy, eat pizza on the weekends, like, or have some Corona.
Well, those are awesome things, man. Those are awesome things. Hennessy and pizza are a national treasure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but if you want to be healthy, man, you gotta stay away from that stuff. It's just hard. It's just very, very difficult.
It is. It's not easy for anybody. I mean, mm-hmm. like with anything that anyone is struggling with, it doesn't make it easy. Like, because somebody else doesn't struggle with it, it doesn't like mean that it's easy. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's hard, man. But like. But then you look at these people and say, damn, I want to look like that. But it's just like, but then you see the rigorous training with the way to eat. And it's like, yeah, but I don't know if I want to eat kale all fucking day and bullshit and not be able to have a Gatorade or a Powerade when I want one, or a Sprite is so taboo, you know, a soda. Like, it's like, damn, like, I can't even snack. I can't eat shitty. I can't drink shitty.
Oh, it's like, you look at them and your eyes say, I want to look like that. But your mind says, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah, it's the trade off, you know, like, it's like, you want to look like a superhero, but you don't want to train like a superhero. That sounds awful.
I think the dieting is the you know, it's the weirdest thing to me now, working as a server again, that I feel so bad when I point to a chubby lady whose soda's almost all the way empty, and I'm like, you want a diet? Like another diet for the refill? I'm like, ooh, I maybe should say the full diet Pepsi. You want another Diet Pepsi? I don't mean to not just point to a Chubbs lady and go, you want another diet?
Hey, fat ass, you want another diet?
I used to have a joke when I first started stand up. So a millennia ago, I said that there was an overweight lady, like she was an obese lady who I knew we had interactions before, but I don't remember what they were, but I know they weren't pleasant. Uh-huh. And for some reason, she was the lady making my sandwich behind the counter at Wawa.
Mm-hmm.
And she was taking forever. Mm-hmm. And then when finally she put the sandwich up there, she said, "Sorry about your wait." And I said, "Sorry about yours, rude."
"Sorry about yours, you fat bitch." You just run off with the sandwich. That's hilarious. That's funny. "Sorry about yours." You probably cried in the car.
I don't know. It wasn't like that, I don't think. I think it was just a joke. I don't know if I actually did that.
No, if you did say that, probably cried in the car.
That Wawa was traumatizing for me. That specific Wawa. Mm-hmm. I was inside that Wawa once where I got a phone call and my job fired me.
Oh, man.
And I was also in that Wawa once when a lady took a seizure. And I was in that Wawa once when the girl behind the counter, this is before you had the touch screens at Wawa's.
Mm-hmm.
The girl was waiting to take, the lady was waiting to take my sandwich order, and she was singing "My neck, my back," and like saying all of it. And I was like, "I don't know if I want to buy a sandwich from you now."
This woman is vulgar. I don't think I want to.
I'm gonna have a ratchet ass tuna shorty, please.
Mm-hmm. The most ratchet sandwich in the building. Can I get the Sharkeesha sandwich? With extra baby mama? Hell no. Fuck that.
Please don't lose any of your big long fake nails in there.
Ew. Those are condiments. The acrylic nails. That is nasty. That's hilarious. Oh, man. But yeah.
I had this question this weekend. Do regular horses piss different than racehorses? Or is it the same amount of piss?
It got to be different because of the saying.
I asked a farmer and he said it's the same amount of piss. The piss comes out the same hole and it comes out the same way. So I've decided that I'm just going to say I got to piss like a regular horse, because why do we got to bring race into this?
That's a solid joke. That's a solid joke. That you know, I like a joke like that because it makes you think. It's like a race. You're like, oh. I like a joke that makes you think. That's good. I like that.
But sometimes I do jokes like that on stage and people just stare at me blankly. And I'm like, I'll wait. And sometimes, and if that happens, sometimes I get a real life ba-dum-ts. Somebody says ba-dum-ts to me in the crowd. And that is the most heinous heckle that someone could give me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God. But
I really, you know what's funny, man? I've been doing this for a long time, and I haven't been heckled that much. And I just conclude it has to do with the fact that I'm a big black guy.
I mean, that's a factor for sure.
Yeah, but I haven't really been heckled that much, which is crazy. Like, I don't even remember the last time. It's been a while since someone. Mind you, I like to talk to the crowd, but usually no one says anything unless I fuck with them.
Yeah, I'm not as big on crowd work as you are, for sure.
Crowd work is fun because people like
it's free. It's free. And it's like you're not burning up any of your material.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, the people really like, people almost prefer it over your regular jokes. Even if your regular jokes are funny, it's just the fact of they're getting it's like going to a rap concert and your favorite rapper is freestyling. It's like, dude, this is something exclusive just for us.
Yeah, this is the only us experience. No one else is getting this.
Exactly what crowd work is.
That's why bands come out and they say, "I love you, Philadelphia," and everybody in Philadelphia is like, "Whoa, that's us. We're all
Mm-hmm.
But
yep, exclusive just for you.
But they said that in every city.
Yeah. But you never know. Like,
pandering, though.
You never know. Like, that night, you might get your best crowd working. And
right.
I just learned to keep the jokes kind of simple. Because a lot of times, the people in the crowd embarrass themselves by accident. Most of the time. Because they're so nervous. So you don't really have to say too much. Like, and you get your joke off.
I never thought of it in the perspective that they're nervous too.
They're nervous as hell.
That kind of disarms them a little bit. It makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, see? They're nervous as hell. So usually the joke usually just let them be themselves, and they still just say something stupid most of the time. And you like, well, all right. And then just people start laughing, man. That's why So I was in the green room, man, one time. I was doing a show with a guy, actually. He was like, how do I feel about Matt Rife? I was like, he's cool. And he's like, I feel like he's ruining comedy. And I was like, why? He's like, because people are going to comedy shows with different expectations now than they used to. Now they're going to comedy shows thinking that, you know, crowd.
Someone's gonna be ripped and handsome.
Well, not that. he's definitely handsome. But you're saying that people think that we're always gonna do crowd work.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it's like I think what people take clips of and they share it on their social media is their crowd work because they're not burning up any of their material. They're not giving their material away for free when they can get a network to pay them to release a special. And there's less crowd work on specials. So a lot of times people will go out with expectations like, oh, because I follow these comedians and they do a lot of crowd work, all comedians do crowd work.
Most comedians don't, honestly. Right. It's hard. It's a skill.
It's a total skill.
It's hard.
I remember my first open mic I ever did. I don't remember the guy who hosts name, but he had such command over the crowd that one of the waitresses was taking somebody's order. Uh-huh. He grabbed the mic and he was like, honey, where did you learn to whisper? A helicopter? It's burned in my memory. That's funny.
Yeah, man. Tell you I got with it kind of quick. Like, well, not quick, but like once I realized how much that shit matters, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start practicing. And the only way really to practice is on the spot. My first few times, man, I felt like I was gonna throw up. And my first few times, what made it worse is the person I picked in the crowd was awkward. So the whole interaction was just straight awkward.
Awkward. Yeah.
It's awkward as heck, dude.
I feel like expectations are a hard, weird thing to live up to. When people like make snap decisions just based on looking at you for the first time, and they're like, is this person gonna say things that are smart enough for me to understand? Is this person gonna say things that are interesting enough for me to care about? Or to be able to relate to in any way.
Yep. I feel like who you got to pick is whoever is most eager. Because people are in the front row. Sometimes their eyes are like flashing because they're just so excited to be there. That person is going to give you a good response. Versus like whoever looks shy, you pick on them, the most likely they're going to be shy. They might give you a boring answer. So unless you do this thing where you're okay with them not responding to you, just making fun of them, then pick the shy guy. But if you need a response, I learned always pick on the guy or the girl in the front who is most interactive.
Yeah, but then that kind of makes crowds like prepared to interact with you. Like it is a weird standard being kind of perpetrated to the social media platforms. like with the audiences that'll come out.
Yeah, I don't mind people being prepared because a lot of those times, those are the best people to joke around with. Because like my jokes usually aren't like I will joke with you, but I'm not really. My jokes aren't that like hurtful, you know. I'm joking with you most of the time, like not at you, like just because like that's just like, usually I make fun of myself more than anybody. Like
I think that the crowd work probably makes you a little more immune to heckles. That might be another reason why you don't get heckled very often. Like maybe you have been heckled a bunch in your crowd work, but like you were vibrating on too high of a level to even acknowledge that that was heckle was happening.
Probably. Yeah, that makes sense. Cause like, I don't know. Like I love joking with the crowd. Like I want everybody to have a good time, you know? Like, that's why I don't really like, I might crack a joke about somebody a few times, but I'm not someone who's going to like tear you apart in the crowd. Cause I know sometimes people are on a more sensitive side and it might hurt their feelings. And I'm trying to make sure everybody has a good time. Not trying to single nobody out.
Think about Chappelle and the Nutty Professor.
Remember? Oh my God.
With the hair, the shitlocks.
Yep. And that was a crazy one when he came back and destroyed him on stage. Eddie Murphy, that was crazy. But freaking Corey, I gotta use the bathroom, man. I've been holding it this whole time.
All right, man. Oh, hang on one sec. Pause the. Have you done any like New York clubs or mics or anything?
Yep, I did open mic in New York and Brooklyn. I can't remember the place on the top of my head because I got on my Instagram, but it was a Black-owned bar. I'm pretty sure it was in, if not in Bed-Stuy, right next to Bed-Stuy. Okay. And it was dope. The crowd was a little bit different.
Dude, I think it's a little bit of a bucket list thing for me. I wanna perform in front of an all black crowd, like a comedy audience.
Okay.
Like Def Jam sort of stuff and see how it gets over. Like see how it plays.
I tell you from personal experience, black crowds will make you work for your laughs.
Right, exactly. Like, that's what I would want to do.
Like I'll be honest, my best crowd is always in front of a white crowd. Like and mainly because they're good sports. And then on top of that, white people usually like to be made fun of. Like, and they'll laugh their ass off. Like black people, it's like a hit or miss. Like I feel like a lot of times black people want you to make fun of people, you know? Mm-hmm. Like DC Young Fly. You know, you ever watched Wild Out?
Oh yeah. I haven't watched I watched the old Wildin' Out, Cat Williams was on it back in the day.
Yeah,
but so I haven't watched the more current seasons.
This is guy.
But I know Maddie Smith. Shout out to Maddie Smith.
Yep. Oh, Maddie with the fatty. She's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. She's my homie.
You know Maddie?
Yeah. Yeah.
But where do you know Maddie from?
I used to do Comedy Fight Club with Matt Maron in New York City. And did those roast battles and stuff. I met her in that circle.
How was she in person?
She's hilarious. I mean, she's somebody it's easy to riff with. Like when you're just like sort of writing bits. I think me and Maddie came up with, and I could be wrong. This could be somebody else and I'm misquoting, but I'm pretty sure it's Maddie. We talked about a person who's new to the country and who's learning English. And keeps confusing the word gonorrhea with the word diarrhea.
That's hilarious.
Oh, his wife gives me the worst gonorrhea.
Yo, she is a fucking hit on Wild Now. Like I watch Wild Now pretty often, and every time she's on there, it's a banger. She always says the funniest stuff. She's a good addition to that show. But this guy named DC Young Fly, he's like one of the more famous guys on the show now because he used to be like a social media guy. He would crack jokes on people. Like, he'll post a picture of you and then like make a video of a side by side of the picture and just like clown you. And I feel like that's kind of like what black people want to see a lot of times, is you making fun of people.
More so, like ridicule folks.
Yeah, like they find that a lot of them find that funny. But it's funny though, because it's nothing better than hearing a black dude laugh in a crowd. He's always been the loudest laugher.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's something that used to trigger me when I was a kid was being called stupid. It really upset me a lot. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when black dudes laugh at you, they go, "Ha, you stupid." And I'm like, "Oh, you just hurt my feelings on the inside." Like, but you meant it in a nice way, but I felt
like you stupid is a way to console you. That's a good thing. You say, "Oh man, you stupid." That means you're funny.
I get that it's a good thing, but when I first started hearing it, it would get up a little response because I was in sped, man. Being called stupid was like my kryptonite. So it's almost like unwelcome. That word is not welcome in my space. That's and then hilarious. All of a sudden somebody goes and calls me stupid in a fun way, I'm enjoying myself type of way. And I go, bittersweet, sir.
That's funny, because it's really meant to let you know that you're hilarious.
Yeah, right. But exactly.
I get exactly what you mean. It's a personal thing.
So, just a few more things, man. Then I'm gonna send you off into the sunset with a hot dog and a handshake.
Okay.
All right. So, this one, the importance of stuff being on the record for me means a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So when I first started doing this show, and I say this to every guest, so if you've heard this a million times, if you've listened to the show a million times, talking to any of the listeners or consumers of this information right now, I apologize, but I can only apologize so many times. So when I first started doing the podcast, my mom had told me a story about how she burnt a CD that had voicemails on it that were left for her from her mother and from her best friend while they were still alive.
Okay. And
she said, you know how, like, when somebody dies, you kind of forget what their voice sounds like. And I remember feeling so much like, I don't ever want that to happen. I don't want anyone to miss out on, like, when I'm gone, my voice still being here. So I like to have on the record conversations with people while we're in it. So right now you and I are on this journey where we just had the longest conversation that we've had so far. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to let you know how grateful I am for the currency of your time and the currency of your effort. That means so much to me. And it means so much to me, like, whatever we're going to do next, I'm excited for. Whatever our relationship is going to be from this point on, I'm going to be excited for. So I say that to say, if you have any other questions regarding anything else that you're eventually going to find out all this stuff anyway from, like, spending some time with me, but just first impressions, first bluff, what's the questions or the comments that you might have that would be on the record conversations that would be pointed towards Corey Castle?
Man, the biggest one, man, I'm sorry, asked.
Oh, what a diss.
Sorry about that. So
the phone roasted me. Your service roasted me just now.
Literally, my bad. So he's like, "So what are you gonna ask me?" And I disappear. It's like, damn.
What I always meant to ask you were
my biggest one is definitely that I've already asked was about the wrestling career, because I didn't realize when you first said it, man, I thought you meant you was like an Olympic wrestler or something like that. Like, I didn't know you meant like WWE, man. That is probably the most interesting thing I've heard in a while. 100%, because I don't think I've ever met anyone who does that, and that's crazy in a good way.
What's weird about like collegiate wrestling or Olympic wrestling is like nobody my age is doing that. Like if anyone is, there's nobody who's ever going to make any money off of it. There's nobody who's ever going to get to a point where like they're just over it, I guess. Like when you get past college or whatever, you're on to whatever's next. So like wrestling would be a segue into MMA. Like nobody stops at wrestling as far as Olympic collegiate wrestling. No one stops at wrestling. That's always a gateway drug, right?
But
professional wrestling and sports entertainment and our show, it's a show. It's something that's, you know, I'm a showman. I'm an entertainer. I'm going to want to create a story and create something that, like, I feel like watching collegiate wrestling, but while I have respect for so many people who do it, I respect wrestlers for sure, but it's so boring. It's boring to watch. Only time it's not boring to watch is when like it's like playoffs, like, or whatever, not even play. Like you feel like you're only really caring the most when it's like, this is a meet that's going to get you a medal. Like there's huge, like agony of defeat, kind of thrill of victory attached to this. And it has to be commentated. Like if you're just watching it and it's silent, you're like, oh my God, this is boring. Oh man, this is boring. But in pro wrestling, it's all over the top and it's all a show and it's all demonstrative. And it's characters. So I don't get insulted as I think anybody in amateur wrestling, if it were to get confused the other way around, amateur wrestling people would get confused, or not confused, but they would get insulted in a way about being compared to what I do, because what I do apparently makes some sort of mockery of what they do.
I think what you do is awesome, man. I'm a huge fan. I feel like more adults, I mean, nowadays are into like the type of wrestling that you do. Which they is awesome.
Awesome. More and more people should be.
Yeah, like, because obviously as a kid, wrestling was like everything. I used to play all the video games, watch all, man. I remember when I found out that like a lot of that stuff is acting. It blew my mind.
I mean, I remember that too. But then I got into the ring and I realized, even if it's acting, even if it's a show, everything still hurts like a bitch. Like all the pain I have, all the consequences that I've sacrificed, all the holidays that I missed, all the parties that I missed, all the stuff to like make shows and beat my body up and pay the price. Like I'll never be able to eat a big sandwich because I've been punched in my face so many times. I did that for a fake thing. Oh, I was getting fake punched and somehow my jaw's fucked up forever. And these concussions, those were fake concussions. Like I don't see the shame thrown on pro wrestling from adults. And I think if more people took the hat off of like, this isn't real and the consequences don't matter, but the consequences, the risks are the risks, no matter whatever the determined outcome might be.
So let me ask you some, how do you feel about acting?
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Acting. I love that I'm a performer, and I've got to act. I've got to do comedy. I've got to wrestle. That's the trifecta of me.
You know, I'm actually putting together a series, man. I would love for you to be on it.
Okay.
If possible. It's called a BBC show. Okay. me and my friend who's a director, just finished writing the first the pilot and the second episode. It's gonna probably be like a 6 to 8 episode series, and we're gonna start shooting it pretty soon. And man, it just hit me like a bolt of lightning of who exactly I would want you to play.
All right.
So
I think being in TV shows and movies has been my dream since I was a kid.
Yeah. It's exciting stuff, man. Like what we doing, because yeah, I'm telling you, as soon as you start making money off this kind of stuff, it's like smooth sailing.
Yeah. I'm doing what I got to do now. Like as far as like I'm waiting tables at Applebee's. I'm just paying the bills by doing security and bar backing at the bar a couple days a week. And those are like, what's that? There's a lyric in a Nako song, and he says, "I'll wash dishes for a quick cash binge till April comes and I'm into the wilderness again." So it's like, I'm just waiting. I'm gonna get into the wilderness. You know what I mean? I'm gonna make these plants grow.
100%. 100%, man. I hear that. That's how I feel, man. I'm working jobs, you know, doing what I gotta do, but I already know what's the goal, and it's all about consistency, you know.
You want to come get a job at Applebee's?
I'm down. I'm down.
I'll put in the good word for it.
Appreciate it.
So. On the same sort of vein of us talking about these recordings of our voices and this recording of our moments, this all being on the record, I like to treat it like it's a time stamp. So I say, and in the segment I call audio time travel, the people that you're talking to now in the next couple minutes, this is right in the future. You're speaking to the people who love you the most, who are stumbling across this recording, whether you're here or not. Let's not think about, I'm going to be gone in 20 years. I'm just thinking about the timestamp 2023 version of Brand talking to the 2043 versions of the people who love you the most. What are the messages that you're giving to them in order to, send them a message from right now to them?
Hey, man. Let me think. 2023 version to 2043
version.
2043 version. I just want to say thank you to everybody who was watching this 20 years from now that was here today. You know, that's very important to me. You know, because at the end of the day, you need your friends and family always, but especially in the beginning of the grind, where most people don't believe in you. I appreciate everyone that was a part of the process before it blew up. 100%. Because without y'all, man, it could never work.
Yeah, I mean, let's all be good bras to each other. And when I say bras, I mean it in a supportive way and not like brother.
I agree with you, man. I appreciate all the support I get, man. It's very, I feel very loved.
So the way we close out is I normally say, hypothetically, I've gifted you this show. This is the first episode of your new show, Evolving with Bren. Big band, Brandon, Brandon Curl, BBC. This is the first episode.
Yep.
Your pilot episode. In a very Jerry Springer's final thought type way, what would you say the most valuable takeaways from this conversation have been to help people to evolve to be a better version of themselves tomorrow and inspire them to want to come back and hit subscribe and follow for more episodes of your new podcast?
Don't be afraid to try different avenues of success, because it's crazy that you do comedy, you do a podcast, and you wrestle. It's very inspiring. So that's definitely one people just tell people, you know, don't be afraid to try something that you think you might be good at.
Do you do any impressions?
No, I'm not good at impressions, man. I'm terrible at it. I wish I was I wish I could do them.
Do you have like a a silly goose voice that you put on when you know you're like talking to a puppy or a baby or anything like that? You're like, hey, yeah, baby. Okay. In your silly goose voice, say the end line, the tag, as you say, be fun, have safe, keep evolving.
Be fun, have safe, and keep evolving.
That was perfect. Anybody who's watching, man, I want to say how much I appreciate the effort, the currency of your effort and your time. If you've liked what we've done, the only call to action for me would be like, subscribe, comment. If you exist, let me know you exist, man. I just prove it to me. Prove it to me that you exist. Leave two thumbs up in the comments. Be fun, have safe, keep evolving.